I'm JJ Hooper and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 21 of Ravens Weekly. This is your Christmas special. My name is Matt Hall and I'm delighted to be joined this week by a very different, well actually I say different, he's been involved with it before, but a different face or voice for those of you who've been listening recently. James Towner, welcome back James.
Evening all, how you doing?
How's it feel to be back?
Yeah, really good,
good, isn't it? Fantastic, well welcome back and we've got a great episode coming up, haven't we? But first of all, let's thank Crown Ash Developments, our fantastic sponsors. Who agreed to sponsor our podcast earlier this season, and their support of the club and the podcast as a whole is very much appreciated. So big thank you to Crown Ash Developments once again. So James, we're just going to run through the list of what's coming up on today's show. I'm going to kick us off. We've got a review of the Sutton game in the FA Trophy to kick us off.
And following that, you spoke to Neil Smith following that win.
It's been a big week community-wise for the club. We're going to catch up on a hospital visit, which you may have seen online, involving some first-team players.
And you also had some really interesting and fun school visits this week, Matt. And you spoke to George Porter after one of those.
We're going to have our very own 2018 awards.
And also we have our usual features. It's the first time I've covered it, but it's going to be the How Many You Reckon attendance prediction.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced How Many You Reckon. We're going to give you a new question. I promise this week we are. It's not going to be Ted or someone coming in. We are going to give it to you. Ted saved us last week. And that's it, isn't
that's it?
I think that's covered us. There is one more thing as well, actually, that I did add onto the list earlier. The teams have disappeared. Finally, for those of you who've been waiting, we did catch up with Zavon Hines, as he's been very busy in training this week and obviously had a slight knock last week, so was obviously in the gym recovering from that. So let's kick off and discuss the Sutton FA Trophy game. A game of two halves, I think.
Definitely.
It's fair to say, James.
Definitely.
You know, the first half, we all sort of got the impression maybe this is not going to be our year. What did you think?
Yeah, as you say, Matt, definitely a game of two halves. The first half, we were obviously going into the wind. That proved to be a big factor. I know the Sutton manager, Paul Doswell, alluded to that in one of his interviews after the game. But yeah, first half, we just weren't really at the paces. And I think it might still be some players getting used to playing with each other and new systems, new sort of formations and that. But second half, we came out and we looked a completely different team. Whatever Smudge had said to him at half-time seemed to have worked. And we were really just got into their faces, Sutton, and the goals that we took quick succession, I think, really sort of just killed the game in Sutton's favour, and I think we came away with the win fully deserved in that second half performance.
Well, I think if you look at that first half in terms of an actual game of football, I don't think it was very entertaining at all. To quote someone at half time, I won't name them, it wasn't any staff member, it would be nice if some football broke out in the second half. And actually, in all fairness, it was quite an even first half. I mean, Sutton obviously a fantastic goal, long range strike dipping in over David Gregory. We did have a couple of chances of our own. I don't think Sutton really threatened much more than us. They just took the chance that they did have. But second half, like you say, completely different affair. And you have to look at the fact that, you know, the power of Neil Smith, if you like, of his team talks, and we've seen them, we know how passionate he is and how he has the ability to change something, unlike, you know, a lot of managers can. Just his passion, his love for the club, it comes through in his team talks, I think.
Yeah, as you say, that's telling in sort of the amount of times we've come back from, you know, positions that weren't in our favour this season. So our second half performances, you know, however it might annoy people, we have actually sort of come back in the second halves and really took the game to some teams in this league. And as you say about the first half being quite even, David Gregory didn't actually have a save to make in the whole game. Obviously that goal you know, it was a great strike. He's you know,
we had
struggled
little,
to get there.
The little hairy moment at the end, didn't we?
Absolutely.
That wasn't really a save.
He didn't have a you know, a single save from a shot on target to make from Sutton. And I think that's telling for the performances of our defenders and actually the whole team as a whole, just limiting Sutton to shooting from range and not really actually registering that much of a threat on goal.
And absolutely, we know the quality, obviously, of David Gregory as a goalkeeper has kept us in so many games. Unfortunately, a slight error towards every player makes an error. Every human being makes an error towards the end of the game. Jake Goodman with an outstanding performance.
What a tackle,
first of all. And what performance from him in general. What were your thoughts on him coming back into the side?
Very, very solid performance from Jake. And he's someone who's been very unfortunate not to be a regular starter this season. I'm pretty sure he's
had unlucky with injuries, hasn't he?
I think he's had as many starts as he has appeared as a sub this season, which shows a sort of inconsistency in his, not in his performances, but in his actual starting numbers this season. But whenever he's played, you can't fault him. And obviously coming up against his former club this weekend, I'm sure he'll be hoping to get back into that starting 11 and produce another performance as he did on the weekend.
Well, I seem to remember a Maidenhead away, chance of Goodman. Goodman was the score in the 90th minute. In the 94th minute, absolute silence from the Maidenhead end. So let's be hoping tomorrow, let's not make it difficult for ourselves. You know, we don't want any injury time drama necessarily, do we?
The players could start, you know, putting those performances in the first half. It'll ease a lot of people's heartache at the minute.
But let's go back to what I was saying as well about obviously the impact of Neil Smith and his words. I mean, you look at that second half side, there wasn't any change in personnel, perhaps a change in tactics slightly, but more so I think that the words ringing in their ears from Neil Smith, you can see from the kickoff, it was a different story.
Absolutely. And I've already just spotted a mistake in our intro, mate.
Yes.
Because Alan Dunn, we spoke
absolutely
to after the match, and as he alludes to shortly, you'll hear about, they didn't really do too much changes at that half-time break. It was more about getting some really important players on the ball in Adam Mecky and Luke Coulson, who, speak of Luke Coulson, I thought that's the first time I've actually seen him play. I've missed the previous games he's been here. Really impressed with him. And when he gets on the ball, he looks to get forward. He's got a lot of pace in the locker, and very impressive his performance on the day. And ultimately it was sort of them getting on the ball and creating chances that I feel like, you know, that wear Sutton down in the end.
Absolutely. Obviously a side we've got to play a lot in
we're going to have to get used to them.
We are
quickly.
Indeed, and absolutely, and a very, very good start we've made to proceedings there. And like you said a minute ago, James, I managed to catch up with Alan Dunn after the game for his post-match thoughts. Alan Dunn, a terrific second half performance from the boys today to recover from a 1-0 deficit.
Yeah, fair result. I felt first half, I thought there wasn't much in it. I thought it was started off pretty quiet either end. A fantastic goal from them. But we didn't give up. And second half, we come out, and we grew into it. And I felt Coles and Mecky getting on more on the ball second half. We wore them down. And I think in the end, we caused them problems with two set plays.
And what was the message at half time? It just seemed when the boys came out for the second half, it was just much more attacking.
Just keep doing what we're doing. We tweaked it a little bit with Coulson coming into half space to get on the ball more, Mecky getting on the ball. Keep turning them and try and wear them down. And I thought Georgie worked his socks off, JJ worked his socks off. And look, in the end, we did wear them down.
And two goals in 2 minutes, it's hard for a team to recover from that, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought as the game grew on, I felt we were the stronger side. We missed Frankie's delivery of late, and you see with the set plays today, JJ coming up with scoring on his home debut, great for him, and Georgie always popped up in the right area. And I felt as the game grew on, I felt there was only one side in it.
And Luke Coulson, a fantastic performance from him as well on his home debut.
Yeah, Luke Coulson was just, he's just clever player. Him and Mickey, clever players, footballers who will find pockets, get on the ball, drive the ball, and it caused them problems a lot second half. And great signing for us.
And it must have been a really relieved dressing room as well as ecstatic after that win.
Yeah, a win is always great. Look, it's a distraction from the league today. Look, we've got Maidenhead next week. We know it's more important, but this is a great competition and we know the rewards of this competition with the trip to Wembley and the boys who were here last year and the boys who ain't here. And it's great for them to get a win, a bit of confidence. We'll take that into Maidenhead.
Great to hear from a member of the coaching staff other than Neil Smith for once there, and Alan Dunn sharing his thoughts after the Sutton United win. We're going to move it on now to a really busy week for the club in terms of community aspects, Matt. And you started off on Monday by visiting the Princess Royal Hospital up the road.
Yes, the Princess Royal University Hospital in Locks Bottom, and what a rewarding afternoon it was. Myself... Alan Dunn, Jack Holland and Sam Wood, and they limited it to four visitors because of obviously reasons, protecting the children from other infections, etc. What a rewarding afternoon it was. It was heartwarming, I think is the word. We arrived and we visited every single child on the ward. The lady who took us around was incredibly helpful. She knew all of the children and what their requirements were. And we had a big thank you to Sue from the Academy for helping to organise that. A huge bag or two huge bags of toys to give out. And we had a very wide range of ages as well. There were babies in there where we'd speak to the parents and there were sort of 12-year-old kids in there as well. So it's a very wide range of ages and conditions. And I just want to say how good the players were with it. Jack, Alan Dunn and Sam Wood all volunteered themselves to come down and when the opportunity arose and what great ambassadors they were for the club. And not only that, they spread some Christmas cheer to children who are not going to be with their families at home, you know, eating roast dinners and that in Christmas. You know, they're not going to be having the turkeys and, you know, all the presents under the tree and such like. And it's really sad, actually, you know, when you look back at your own experiences of Christmas at that age and you remember them as happy times, these children are going to be spending them in hospital. And that's the saddest thing, you know, for us. So for us to be able to go in there and put smiles on faces was an unbelievable experience. And I think one parents said their child had been crying all night, and as soon as we came in, he was smiling and he was happy, especially after we gave him his present.
it's amazing, you know, seeing these sorts of visits, and they're not uncommon. It's just actually been really, you know, for me, great to see on the Twitter feeds this week so many clubs actually in our league as well and below doing very similar visits. And it's just really important to remember how important clubs, you know, football clubs like ours are to sort of children that age, and to be able to, you know, go in and show our actual physical presence in the community. I just think it's fantastic, and credit to yourself for organising those trips. And I believe, Matt, you actually spoke to Sam Woods whilst you were there to gather his thoughts on the afternoon.
Sam Wood, yourself, me, Jack Holland and Alan Dunn, just been around the children's ward at the Princess Royal University Hospital. A very rewarding experience.
Oh yeah, nice. I've done it for a few years now, and as soon as it come up, I put my name forward straight away. It's fantastic to do, and to give some presents to the kids that are going to be in hospital over Christmas. As we've just done it, there was put a few smiles on their faces and it cheered them up. One of them said he hasn't been smiling all night, I've been crying, and as soon as we walked in there, he was all smiley and happy. So it's great to have that feeling and obviously boost their spirit.
And it shows just the difference that football can make to the community, doesn't it?
Oh, of course. We obviously, there was a young lady there asking about her disability son, asking, do we take disability children for football? And we said yes. I think we got a thing starting in January. So hopefully she can bring her other child to a Bromley Football Club and get him involved in football and with the club.
And when you see those smiles, it just makes it all worth it. So rewarding.
Oh yeah, you know, you take things for granted, and when you go into there, brings you back down to earth a little bit, and it's fantastic to see. Obviously bring them a little bit of a Christmas spirit. Yeah, it's just obviously me and Jack, obviously we've got a little bit of goosebumps at the end there. It's like it's been puts things in perspective, and it's a great feeling.
Sam, thanks for coming.
No problem, thank you.
Yeah, and just to elaborate on something there, James, one of the nurses actually approached us from one of the wards and said, my son's a huge fan, can I get a picture? And that, to me, really shows how far the club has come in, you know, for us to be recognised in public for being part of Bromley Football Club is an outstanding thing for us, and for us to be now known in the hospital for providing goodwill and for bringing some festive cheer to those children. It's an honour to represent the club, and the players I know agree with it. So yeah, fantastic afternoon all round.
Oh, we've got Scott Brown in.
We've got Scott.
We're going to have to do that. I think we're going to do impromptu. How many you reckon?
Yes,
we're going to have to do that now.
Deviate away from the original plan.
Yeah.
You might hear
we've got some Christmas tunes
going on in the background here. Scott,
yeah.
We're on the eve of the Maidenhead game tomorrow. How many you reckon?
How many you reckon, Matt?
How many I reckon? I'm going to say 1,084.
1,084. Okay, I'm gonna
going quite
jump
close
just
to Scott.
Under. I'm gonna go 1,005. I'm gonna go 1,005.
Sort of within more or less than 100
yeah,
of each other.
And we're hopeful. We're hopeful for that.
We'll see tomorrow, won't we?
We certainly will. Always nice to go a bit off script there, Matt. We're gonna move it on now, though, according to schedule. And we're going to go back onto some more visits you actually led this week, Matt. One was on Tuesday, if I'm correct there, and that was to St Mark's School. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit on that one, Matt.
Yeah, St Mark's is a school that Bromley Football Club has always had a relationship with. However, we're looking at expanding that now and making the most of it for the children that attend and for the staff as well, and for what we can provide to them. A lot of supporters will have seen already that we've hosted two of a St Mark's home games this season. Obviously, we've given them the pitch with our compliments on those occasions. They won one quite comfortably and lost one as well. So we'll see, hopefully, the next time they can win again. But it was a pleasure to visit. I was accompanied by, let's see if I can remember all the players, Jordan Higgs, Zavon Hines, JJ Hooper, Aidan Enver, Kyle De Silva, and I'm forgetting one.
Jack Barham,
yes, what a lovely guy he is as well. And it was really nice. It was a very informal sort of sports session. And the players just had a kick about with the kids, really, and just had a chat with them, which was quite nice to see them sort of quite relaxed. And then we went into the assembly where we were joined by Neil Smith, who talked a lot about the club and talked a lot about what we do for children on Saturday mornings as well. Our new girls only soccer school is opening up on the 12th of January, and we're offering the first session for free. He was very passionate about that, and that's something which we've worked very hard to get funding for. As well, just talked about inviting everyone down to the next two games, obviously tomorrow against Maidenhead and New Year's Day against Sutton. Every child was presented with a free ticket to both games, and the parents received a discount on that one as well. And Neil, as you'd imagine, was the perfect person to lead that assembly and to talk to the children about something that he is also so passionate about. And the nicest thing was, as all the children walked in for the assembly, he was recognised so many times. Even I got recognised, you know, and that's an achievement, you know. So it was great to be a part of and lead that, along with again the support from Sue at the academy. So really, really good visit, and a very productive one at that.
And it was obviously, still touched on that subject, it's brilliant to see quite an active social media response to that visit. One in particular, I believe, from one of the students' parents.
Yeah, so the Player of the Term Award, I spoke to the PE teacher, Mr. Hall. You know, great surname.
No relation.
I've got to say, no relation. No, Lee Hall down at St Mark's. And he said, would it be okay for Neil to present the Player of the Term Award? And now this young lad is someone that I've actually watched in action when St Mark's played here. He's a goalkeeper. And he was fantastic in the games that I saw him in. So a very well-deserved award for him, Hal. And you can see that on the Facebook and Twitter pages of Neil presenting his award. And it just makes such a difference. You know, I look back, I was never good enough to get...
No.
I did get awards, but I was never good enough to get a player of the season or anything like that, unfortunately. So for someone to be able to get that from someone like Neil, that, you know, is so well respected, is amazing. And we talked with St Mark's about how Neil used to lead their after school clubs, and is now the Bromley first team manager. So what a journey
that's
he's been
amazing.
On
And then we move on a couple of days onto Thursday, and you actually went up with another group of players to Highfield Primary School.
Yes, Highfield School. Back in my days as a teacher, I used to do a lot of work with Highfield. So somewhere that I knew quite a lot of people, and I got in touch, and sure enough, the PE teacher, Mr. Ayres, was more than happy for us to come down. And this one was slightly different. As we went in, we had a lot more players with us for a start. I think we had about 10 with us.
And name them. Go on.
Oh, gosh.
Go on. I'm going to put you under
it. Okay, you're going to put me on the spot. Okay, I'm trying to think. When we were stood in front of the assembly and I was made to talk in front of all those kids...
Right, I'm going to get the picture up. And
okay,
see if you can
all right, let's test me out.
There's a group photo, I think.
Okay,
you sent me
and how many players are in it? So I've got to get a certain amount.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 12.
12.
You've got to get 12.
Oh my God.
Is one of them you? No. You were taking the photo.
I wasn't taking.
You weren't?
I was taking the photo, sorry, in the playground, not in the assembly. So,
right, yeah, it's 12, mate. You've got to get
them. So, Luke Coulson,
yep.
1. John Goddard, 2.
Yep.
Frankie Sutherland, 3.
Yep.
Frankie Raymond, 4.
Yep.
Roger Johnson, 5.
Yep.
Jack Holland, 6.
Yep.
David Gregory, yep. 7. Jake Goodman, 8.
Yep.
Who haven't I said? Sam Wood, 9.
Yeah.
George Porter, 10.
Yeah.
I've got 2 more. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think back.
Tell a lot. Joe Quigley. Count. You've got 1 left, and that
Joe
was it.
Quigley.
No, you have got 1 left, sorry.
Joe
Quigley, 1 more.
Oh, 1 more.
He's in a beanie hat here.
One of the new bubble hats. Adam Mecky.
Boom, smashed it.
Oh, see, I've done all right there. So all of those players that I'm not going to attempt to name again that I just named under pressure attended with me, and I just want to say what a special bunch of not only players, of people that we have at this club on both visits. It was humbling for me, the talent on show that we saw at Highfield, because we actually, the players warmed the girls' team and the boys' team up for matches, and then they had an inter-squad game, so that the girls played another half of the girls' team. And what we did was we asked every player to coach a certain child, and they would to the player at halftime, and they would receive personalised advice from a footballer. And you know, when you're looking at people like Roger Johnson, who was outed as an ex-Premier League footballer in the assembly, what an experience. And I just want to quote one of the kids, actually, one of the boys at the end, who said, "This is the best day of my life."
It's fantastic.
And, you know, for me, it was quite emotional at that point because you're having an impact on these people's lives. And all of the teachers were coming out to watch us. And it was honestly a heartwarming experience again. And I just want to say there is some serious talent on show. And Highfield did really well in both our under-11s tournament a few weeks ago. They weren't the winners, but they performed really well. And honestly, the talent is quite unbelievable. And I would not be surprised to see some of these girls and boys in Bromley shirts come the future. But
that's what it's all about, I suppose.
It
Matt,
is, absolutely.
Creating these links and trying to get some of these players into our setup.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we did the assembly. Every class had 2 written questions to ask the Bromley first team squad. And, you know, the players who've just come in recently, Luke Coulson approached me the other day when he heard about the school visits and said, "Look, I want to be involved with this, anything like that. Get me down. I live locally. I really want to be involved with it." And that is the sort of people we have got at this club. You know, that might not be seen on the pitch, as good a player as you know, we know a lot of them are. You don't get to see the personal side. And they were all cheering on the teams. George Porter was so into it. You know, it was like he's watching his own team play. It was honestly such an incredible experience. And we're going to go back there very soon and do some more stuff with them. There are School of the Day on the 26th of January against Eastleigh. And I did a talk in the assembly about that. Didn't expect to have to stand up, taking me back to my teaching days there, standing up in front of the assembly, addressing them. So it was, just talking about
brilliant.
It now.
Brilliant week, Matt.
It's incredible, yeah.
Speaking of George Porter there, he was the man on interview duty after that tour.
George Porter, we've just been at Highfield Junior School watching the boys and girls football, as well as being part of an assembly. It's been a fantastic afternoon, hasn't it?
Yeah, Matt, brilliant day. Just good to get into the school, had a look at their assembly, went in on their assembly, a lot of kids asking questions, and it was brilliant. They knew a lot about the club, was asking some really good questions, and it was good to come over here today and really enjoy myself.
And lots of, like you say, Bromley fans, and hopefully future Bromley fans as well. Now they've met so many players. There was a good handful of you coming down today, more than that.
Well, yeah, I think there was about 8 or 9 of us. A lot of first team players, obviously Roger Johnson with the experience as well. When we had a few experience questions, it was good for him to answer some. But when the teacher asked how many people supported Bromley, it was very good. There was a lot of hands up in the crowd, so it's good to come out here, Matt, definitely.
And that was Adam Mecky, just let everyone know. The standard as well, especially in the matches that we saw, was fantastic. I know a lot of the boys were surprised.
Yeah, it was brilliant. We went and watched the girls train, well, play a game first, and that was a good standard from them lot. But then the boys come on the pitch, and I think the boys were really, like the first team boys, us lot, were really getting into it, you know, and it was very competitive game. some very good players. I was speaking to one of the teachers as well, and a few of the boys are in academies already, a few are at Bromley, and yeah, the game got really fiery, and it was good to watch, really good.
And it just shows, doesn't it, what good football clubs can do in the community, and that's what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, she's brilliant. As you said to me earlier, mate, like, it's very good to have a relationship with this school. It's brilliant. I think we should be going into schools, and because like the kids come up to us at the end and they're really excited to see us, so if we can do our bit for them, like, I'm more than happy to do it, and I think all the boys are as well, so it's been really good, mate.
And we've received a lot of interest. Obviously, we're inviting Highfield School down to Hayes Lane on the 26th of January. Hopefully we're going to see a lot of them there.
Yeah, that's right. That's really good from the club, I think, Matt, to get the school down for the day. I think the game's against Eastleigh, so it'd be really good to see as many kids there as possible, and to get them to cheer us, because we were cheering at them today. So no, it'd be really good to see as many faces down there as possible.
George, thank you.
Cheers, Matt. Thanks, mate.
Really great to hear the enthusiasm from George Porter there, and which I'm sure you'll say is shared among all of those 12 visitors that came along with you on the day, Matt. But moving on from those fantastic school visits, and obviously the hospital visit as well this week, we move on to some first team news, and we finally caught up with Zavon Hines after he signed for the club about a week ago.
Yeah, so it was difficult to track Zavon down, obviously, on the morning that we signed him. There was same morning as Luke Coulson. Paperwork to be done, and he said, look, can I do the interview another day? So I said, all right, it's been a long morning, that's not a problem. And yeah, I didn't really manage to catch him. He'd been obviously training a lot, and then in the gym, etc., and obviously we have our own other things to get on with, so we just didn't cross paths. But yeah, I managed to grab him earlier this morning, and yeah, it was great to catch up with him. And then obviously the fans, this is what the fans were really excited about. Even when it was announced that he was leaving Chesterfield, we couldn't believe it. The fans were sort of trying to get us to sign him, and when we did, I think it went down really well, didn't it?
Yeah, just to, before we go on to the actual interview itself, obviously signed before our game against Gates, said I wasn't up there, but you were, Matt. Can you sort of paint a picture of sort of what player he is and what he can actually bring to this current squad?
Well, I mean, he was a bright spark in an unfortunately dull afternoon up there. We weren't at our best. Unfortunately, though, we didn't get to see too much of what he can do, because mainly due to the fact that he was surrounded by two or three Gateshead players all the time. We were just kicking him, which, you know, it's very clear to be seen all game. You know, it was a late signing. Maybe they weren't expecting it, so that was their tactic to try and stop his threat. But we can see that when he gets into a bit of space, he is an outstanding player. And I think, you know, when I look back at the Chesterfield game when he played against us, he was certainly a bright spark in that side, caused a lot of problems, and if there was anyone who was going to score against us that night, it was him, albeit from the penalty spot, obviously in the dying moments. So I know he's been bantered about that. Jake Goodman's not letting it go at all, saying you should have missed. But yeah, it's great to welcome him on board, and here's what he had to say when I caught up with him earlier today. Zavon Hines, welcome to Bromley Football Club. We didn't manage to catch you last week, obviously had a very busy week with training. How are you feeling in your first couple of weeks at the club?
I feel good. I feel like I'm ready to play. I had a little knock last week from my first game, hence why I weren't involved in last week's home game, but I'm ready now. I'm ready to play. It's a good setup here. I like the plans for the future. I just want to play. I just want to get going.
And what was it that made you want to come here? Was it Neil? Obviously the manager is a very big influence.
Yeah, the manager, I've spoke to him a few times in the past, and he really wanted me. Plus I'm a family guy, so I wanted to come back home as well, and I believe when I'm with my family and when I'm happy, I play my best football, so I think it was a perfect fit.
Obviously you've got Premier League experience, but for those who haven't seen you play, how would you describe yourself as a player?
I like to think a bit tricky at times. like to get on the ball, like to work hard as well to impact the team and make the team play if possible. I just like to just get on the ball, and I think if we have the ball as a team and I've got the ball, then we're less likely to concede. So I just like to play and enjoy.
And we come up to a busy Christmas period now, lots of games coming up. Is that something you as a player really look forward to?
No, because Christmas I can't really have any food. And it's all about but it's good as well, because this time of the year, I believe that it
defines where you're going to finish in the league, because we've got a lot of games in a short period of time. So for us, it's just all about focusing on one game at a time and just taking it like that. We can't look too much in the future and how many games we've got. We've just got to start from tomorrow and get all 3 points and then go on to the next one, because it's all about recovery as well. Like I said, there's a short space of time for recovery, so we've got to recover well.
Savon, thank you.
Nice to hear from one of our latest signings in Zavon Hines. Hopefully us and the supporters get to see him in the coming weeks or so. It's a busy festive fixture list, so I'm sure Neil Smith will get some game time out of him. We're going to move on and look ahead to tomorrow's match, and we host Maidenhead United at Hayes Lane for 3 o'clock kickoff in the Vanarama National League. Match, just going to run us through their season so far. Not had the greatest of second seasons in the National League, have they?
Yeah, so unfortunately for them, it's not gone too well at the moment. They did have a reasonable start, but have recently fallen away a little bit. They're not in great form at the moment. They are currently 22nd in the table, so third from bottom, in other words, having played 23 games, winning 6, drawing 3, and losing 14, with a goal difference of minus 22. So lots of goals conceded. A lot of people remember the game that we played against them at York Road, for obvious reasons, being 2-0 down in the final minutes. I think it was you and me on commentary
it was indeed,
neither Cookie nor Jeff could make it, and the scenes at the end were quite something. Frankie Sutherland with a penalty in the first minute of additional time, and George Porter with the equaliser in the final dying seconds, and it's the sort of stuff you dream about, isn't it, you know,
it
in football, and you never think will happen.
Exactly, and you say that, but in that early stage of this season, we just seemed to do it so much, you know, having done it at Wrexham
was
not
similar
a couple
period
of weeks
of time,
before, or even if it was, might have been a week before. That 2-2 result was one to remember, and hopefully tomorrow will just go a bit more in our favour. We've had absolute tunes on that.
Yeah, we have, haven't we? They're all coming out now. And let's hope, as we were talking about earlier, we don't have to rely on injury time goals tomorrow. Let's hope. So it is going to be a tough test. I think our record against Alan Devonshire isn't the best.
No.
He's a tough manager against. He's got a very direct style, and he gets what he wants from all of his players. He knows what he wants. Stick to a game plan.
And that's it. Some key players as well, and one that does seem to haunt us. You alluded it to, I'm pretty sure, in the commentary that day, Matt. Adrian Clifton.
Adrian Clifton is our nemesis.
He really is. And he's featured for them prominently this season, alongside Josh Kelly, a young forward who maybe Bromley fans will remember. He scored that, no questions about it, a great goal. And
goal of the afternoon.
Yeah,
for certain.
Took at least four of our players out of the question there of that Cruyff turn, smashing it into the top corner. So he will certainly be one to watch tomorrow, should he play. Looking at their team sheet, they've got some really good names in there. They all seem to play for Alan Devonshire. Why they're down that far at the minute, I suppose you lose to probably the amount of goals conceded is probably their main issue.
Every side has a tough period of form, and we've just been through it ourselves recently. Obviously, let's hope we've turned a corner now with the win against Sutton on Saturday. It's tough, isn't it, when you're down and in those places. I think a couple of their summer signings haven't really worked out, and you know that happens to a lot of clubs.
Ryan Bird being one of them.
Ryan Bird, I think's had a lot of injuries and haven't really seen the best of him at the moment. Touch wood, he doesn't come on and score tomorrow, or score full stop. It's a side that in recent times we haven't had the best of luck against. Bit of a bogey side, I think it's been a while since we actually beat them, so let's hope tomorrow that changes. We've definitely got now renewed confidence in the camp. Obviously the new players coming in does make a huge difference as well, so let's be hoping.
We'll just fill Bromley fans with even more confidence going into tomorrow. We've got the head-to-head up here, and we haven't beaten them since 2014, Matt, which is 4 years. So 2-2. They beat us 5-2 at the end of last season. I think many people remember
that.
We lost 3-2 to them back in 2017, and then the 2015 result was that 4-4 draw at their place before we beat them 4-2 at our place. So
Yeah, an interesting
head-to-head
track
that one.
That. They have actually had their last game on the 15th, their FA Trophy game, abandoned.
Oh, yes. It was Oxford.
I think it might have been in the second half. I'm not too sure. The conditions, if anyone's seen the videos, were worsening. I think that's an understatement. Yeah. It was a swamp, the pitch. Yeah. And it just goes to show 3G and, you know. Anyway, yeah.
We move on.
Yes. And their actual replay was set for the Tuesday. Well, I say replay. Rearranged game was set for the Tuesday after. And that actually got called off as well.
Yeah.
So they have not played a full game in a couple of weeks. So, you know, you can look at that both ways. James Comley got sent off in the abandoned game and is suspended for tomorrow, so they're missing a player there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of side Alan Devonshire puts out and how we shape up to deal with it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. Looking forward to tomorrow. We're coming off the back of a great win on Saturday. I'm pretty sure the whole week's worth of training for Neil Smith's side would have got them in perfect stead going into this one. A reminder to supporters that are listening to this on the Friday evening when we send this out, that you can save money on the gate prices by purchasing your tickets in advance. Our online sales end 1 p.m. on Saturday, so 2 hours before the 3 p.m. kickoff. You can save few quid on your ticket prices, so be sure to purchase in advance. If you forget, don't worry, you can still purchase on the gate, but do expect to pay a little bit more than you would have been able to online.
Yes, absolutely, and looking forward to it. I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's now time again for the fans' question of the week. Before we do that, we're going to speak a little bit about last week's question, and that was, can you name a Bromley player who's only made one appearance? Now, Colin Head was hot onto that one and said, great podcast again. Thank you, Colin. One player he can think of who played once for Bromley was Dave Mehmet away at Dulwich in the mid-90s. And Eddie McIntosh actually came back to that and said he played for Millwall, Charlton, Gillingham, and just about every non-league team in Kent. You've gotten one as well, haven't you, I believe,
yeah,
James?
I'm going to throw one out there. Feel free to shoot me down if you think I'm wrong, but I remember a away trip to Bath City a few years back now, and we signed Alfie May, who's now smashing it up at Doncaster.
Yeah.
And I believe he was literally there for that one game. Whether he featured or not is probably an area of contention, but I'm going to throw Alfie May
out. Let's throw it out. Another one, Paul H on Twitter, Tom O'Connor. I'm not sure.
He's featured, I think, a handful of times for us.
Yeah,
usually
I know.
Pre-season.
Yeah, he's played. Yeah, it depends. Now we're getting into the realms of, do we include league games, cup games,
that's
pre-season?
A very, very grey area.
Et cetera. So, yeah, a good shout
very
there.
Very good
though.
Shout.
Another, well, I've got two.
Go on, Matt.
Off. One of my questions that I put in was, can you name a player who's played internationally but only made one appearance for Bromley? And that was Kadir Maynard, who played internationally for Bermuda. And another one, who had an outstanding record, Callum Davies, on loan from Gillingham, played one game, scored one, had a bit of a mare. But played and scored as a centre-back against Grimsby away, and we lost 4-1 in our first season in the National League.
Callum Davies
was one, which we were talking about last week. So, obviously, not quite the response we'd hoped for. But a difficult question.
Very different difficult type question.
So if anyone does think of any others, or if anyone wants to pick up on any of ours, do get in touch using the contact details we will share with you very shortly. But our new fans' question of the week actually comes in three parts. So, yes, we are asking for basically... Come on, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Be generous. We're asking for three-part answer to this question. James, what is the question?
So, as this is probably going to be, or maybe the second to last, or the last episode of the year, we want to give a bit of a review of 2018. And firstly, we are asking for your best moment of 2018.
Best or favourite, I think we can settle for that.
We'll go best or favourite. Your worst, I can already think of mine. We're going to go for your funniest moment of 2018.
Well, I know my funniest already.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sorry, Cookie's not here, but... Those of you who don't know, he had a colossal slip you know, a few weeks ago. I shouldn't say slip, I should say a fall. Which it was. I think he tripped over something and it was caught on camera. And yeah, it was
seen on TV.
He was fine, by the way, everyone. You know, he was okay. So we're not laughing at another person's injury or anything like that. He was fine. He was actually laughing about himself afterwards. So yeah, all in good humour. But yeah, Cookie does provide us with plenty of laughs.
He really does.
And that was one of them. Have you got one for that, or maybe another one of the points?
I'm not going to share mine now. Hopefully, no? I'll be on the next one.
But I think
my worst will probably be shared by quite a lot of people.
Yeah, I can imagine what that is.
I can imagine what that's going to be.
Possibly with me even as well. So, yes. So, once again, your favourite or best moment of 2018 with Bromley Football Club, your funniest and your worst.
Yep, so a review of 2018. And Matt, I'm going to throw you under it again. What are the contact details for those sending in their answers to this?
You can email us, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. You can reply to the thread on Facebook when we post the podcast, or you can tweet us @BromleyFC using the hashtag RavensWeekly.
Okay, well, me and Matt, we're actually worried we might not have too much to talk about this week with two very important members of the podcast team away, but we've actually almost got up to 40 minutes now, basically reaching that mark right now, so we're going to try and wrap this one up fairly quickly. Just firstly, another plug, tomorrow we're at home to Maidenhead United, our last home game of 2018. It'd be great to have as many of you there as possible. I know it's the last weekend before Christmas, but if you can ditch that Christmas shopping for a couple of hours, it'd be great to have you down. Online ticket sales are online until 1 p.m. Head to www.bromleyfc.co.uk to sort those. We've also got our Christmas party straight after the game, which will be held in the Ravens Bar from 5 p.m. onwards. We've got a DJ in it. Promises to be a great night. So yeah, please do join us for that if you can. Matt, we've also got three more important fixtures to talk about, which we may not actually cover in time for the next podcast.
And let me actually say, just on that party, it is absolutely free. So if you've got a ticket for the game, you're in. Stay with us. It promises, like you say, to be a fantastic night. The players are going to be around, the management, the staff are all going to mix together, and I'm sure it'll be definitely one to remember. So on that note, obviously, we're not sure when the next podcast is going to be, so with regard to that, we do actually have another game. Well, we know it's not going to be before Christmas, so happy Christmas, everyone.
Absolutely.
We are going to be playing away on Boxing Day at Sutton United. Obviously, going to get very used to playing them in recent times. We're then away to Havant and Waterlooville on the 29th, so two away trips, and then we're back home, obviously, on New Year's Day for the visit of Sutton United. Please remember that it's a 7:45 kickoff, and it is live on BT Sport, but your support here would be very much appreciated.
We need everyone down there for that one. Get yourself live on TV. I mean, there's nothing better. Get bring everyone down, bring the family down. You can say you've been on live TV in front of the BT Sport cameras. Promises to be a great night. Another fierce battle against our local rivals in Sutton United. But yeah, Matt, that almost rounds us up for this week.
Yes, James. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining
me
this afternoon. And obviously, our Christmas wishes to all of you. Merry
Christmas. Merry
Christmas,
everyone.
And a very happy new year from everyone at Bromley Football Club. I know Jeff and Cookie have not been able to join us tonight. They are here in spirit, and they are sending their Christmas wishes to you as well. And yeah, it's been a pleasure to relaunch the podcast this year. Once again, a huge thank you to Crown Ash Developments for their massive support in that, and of course all of us who present it as a team together. It's been an absolute pleasure and something we've really enjoyed, and we look forward to taking into the new year. So from us, James,
thank you very much, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
And that's it for us this time. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.